all human beings are mortal. Socrates is a human being, therefore Socrates is mortal. Or as my first philosophy professor used to put it to me, everybody has his price. Socrates is somebody, therefore Socrates has his price. A rather indelicate way of introducing us to the syllogism. But we wouldn't have a syllogism, would we, if we denied that Dobbin is a horse and said that horses are mammals. It wouldn't follow, in other words, from the assertions Dobbin is not a horse, horses are mammal, that Dobbin is not a mammal. He may, after all, be an elephant or a manatee or any one of a number of other mammals. We don't know what's true if all we know is that Dobbin is not a horse and that horses are mammal, which is as much as to say that nothing follows from these assertions. What do the assertions have to look like for an inference to follow? What, in other words, must be the shape and connection among assertions, denials, predications, for them to generate valid and appropriate syllogisms from which we can infer other truths? And what other truths can we infer? These are the questions that Aristotle considered in the Prior Analytics. Now, in Aristotle's actual discussion, it's general terms that are considered. Although we often hear examples that employ single subjects, like Dobbin or Socrates, Aristotle's examples are all general subjects. But the telos, that is the end or the point toward which the entire discussion is aiming, is to explain the specific and to understand what we can and cannot say about the individual particular things in the world. That relationship, the relationship between a formal structure that explains things in terms of universals and the ultimate goal of explaining individual instances of being, is going to come up again in our conversations. So the Prior Analytics, then, Aristotle's earliest logical work, or the first logical work, one of the first logical works in the Organon, is concerned with the formal structure of inferential reasoning and patterns of inferential reasoning. In the Posterior Analytics, the second book of the Analytics, Aristotle says he is concerned with what's usually translated as demonstration. The Greek word is apodeixis. A demonstration, or an apodeixis, is, he says, something that gives us scientific understanding. Scientific understanding here is a translation of Aristotle's term episteme. That is, understanding of phenomena in the world. And the Posterior Analytics is really a treatise on such understanding. At the end of the Prior Analytics and at the beginning of the Posterior Analytics, Aristotle allows that the entire structure of discussion about inferential patterns is really designed in order to allow us to have the tools for being able to articulate a theory of this scientific understanding. At the beginning of that work, that is, at the beginning of the Posterior Analytics, Aristotle claims that we take ourselves to understand something when we know its cause, that is, when we know what's responsible for it being the case. The account that Aristotle here gives sounds like a familiar one. Scientific understanding is occasioned by causal explanation, of which a paradigm, that is, the standard form, is a certain kind of syllogism. That is, a kind of syllogism, the sort that we've just been looking at. For example, all k's are L. The case that we're trying to understand is a k, so we now can understand it is an L. It's clearly not necessary for such an account to pick out a particular kind of understanding, what Aristotle calls scientific understanding, that all understanding be dependent on explanation, that is, demonstration of this sort. Nor is Aristotle making such a claim. It's only this kind of understanding that the one that he's speaking about, namely the one that is affected or brought about by this kind of explanation. Now, in the way that I've just described the situation, understanding a particular instance of one thing being another by showing that it falls under a general pattern of all things of that sort having that kind of characteristic, in the way that I've just described the situation, it sounds as though it were evident that the phenomenon that we're trying to explain, that is, concerning which we're trying to have scientific understanding, is, as I put it in the formal account I just gave, an L, or is a K. But that is often the secret of coming to scientific understanding, is discovering what features of the phenomenon in question are going to serve to explain what it is that we're trying to understand. An explanation, in other words, in terms of all K's being L, although it seems very formal and general, may prove genuinely enlightening when it is in fact by virtue of being K that the subject in question is L, and when getting the explanation involves discovering that that is the feature of the phenomenon that explains why it has what we're trying to understand. In other words, half the job of explaining scientifically has been already done when, in the cases in which the fact that all K's are L is offered in explanation of the fact that this particular K is L,